I want us to jump into the book of Deuteronomy for a moment, chapter 2, a little bit, chapter 1, chapter 2. There are some things as a Christian that we struggle with, that we kind of think that when we come to this moment and we accept Christ, that all of our junk goes away immediately, or that sometimes we as Christians judge that as well. We think somebody comes to Christ and everything should change over a moment. And sometimes that does happen, but it doesn't mean everything changes as quickly as we'd like. When we began to have that relationship with God, we begin to grow in the walk, in our walk with the Lord. And one of those things that God calls us to do is learn how to be obedient. We need to learn how to be obedient. But we read so many times that where God's people are not obedient. And when we get into that place and we get into that hot spot, we don't obey God. Many times we think that nothing is going to happen. We're just going to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins and help me on my way. And we don't deal with those things that we should have dealt with. And tonight I want to let you know, well, the scripture does tell us that God disciplines those whom he loves. Today, as Christians, many of us are coming to this part where we want God to accept the sin in our life. We don't say it that way, but we expect it that way. Okay? I'm going to tell you some things, that kind of, and it may be offensive to some, but I'm going to tell you, living together, sex outside of marriage, you cannot tell God that that is good. Going out getting drunk, you cannot tell God that that is good. Putting things into your body through needles or pills, that is not good. Okay? Lusting after someone that is not yours, that is not good. Yet we in American culture have come to this point where we tried to justify that lifestyle and still come into the church house and worship. Now there's a difference when you're broken and you come into the house of God and you're trying to say, who is this God? I'm in a mess. I need some help. I need the Lord. I need a touch of the Lord. I need to know who he is. I don't know about the saved, the lost, heaven. I don't understand all that. I know a little bit, but I want to learn about that. That's different than the person who already has experienced salvation, has walked with the Lord for a while, and has chosen to try to reach out what God has, but also keeping a foot and an arm back into the world, trying to have that lifestyle, and we want God to bless it. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to have that blessing. You're not going to have a blessing in that. You'll have the same blessings that a lost person has in many ways. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. You're going to have that blessing. But as believers, we need to have the blessings that God has promised us, many blessings. Many of those is if we just stay obedient to the Lord. Okay? We think that there's no chastisement. We think that there's no that the God doesn't bring out the whoop stick and paddle us from time to time. And we as American Christians are struggling with that. Do you know that the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 that we are not to forsake the assembling together? We are not to stop coming to church? And it says, as some are in the habit of doing. Randy, when you guys go to Cuba, you'll hear some of them say, and I even heard Pastor Mike say when he was in Rwanda a few years back, that people would walk 3 hours to go to church for a two-hour service. They walk 3 hours, 3.5 hours to get to church. All we got to do is walk a couple blocks or get in a car and drive 10 minutes or 20 minutes, or some of us live further away and drive 30 minutes, and we complain about that, and yet we see people that will walk 3 hours or 5 hours, and in India, that's even sometimes even longer because it's like this in certain areas. It can be all day to try to get to a two-hour service. And their services are not usually 2 hours because they walked a long way. And so their service is sometimes all afternoon. And we complain that in the American church because the pastor went over 10 minutes. So you're not complaining to me. I've not had that complaint in a long time since actually on State Street. But the American church does complain because the services are too long. Too long-winded, or too much music, or too much testimony, or too much. And, you know, even when you go to the book of Nehemiah, you'll see that they praise the Lord all day long. They acknowledged him and worshiped him all day long. But I want to share with you some people that really, they saw more miracles than you and I have today, and with their eyes. And it is the people that have come out of Exodus. or out of Egypt in the book of Exodus. But in Deuteronomy chapter 2, we're going to come up to this point. But I want to tell you what they did is they come up to this place, up to the land of milk and honey, and God sent the spies in, or they sent the spies in, they came back, and two of them said, we could do this thing. The rest of them said, no, we can't. They said, well, we need a new leader. And they jumped from one thing to the next. We need to find somebody to take us back to Egypt. And they forgot. Egypt was already in disarray. They lost so many military men. Their military was beat down. At that time, Egypt was a mess. And we need to go back to Egypt. And we need to go back. We need to go back. And God says, that's it. I'm going to destroy them. Well, we know the couple guys like Aaron and Moses and we know there were a couple of guys, Joshua and Caleb. You know, some of these guys just tore their clothes and threw dust in, on their heads. And Moses was pleading to God, don't destroy them. Don't destroy them. And he said, I won't. But what I will do is I'm going to send them out in wandering. They're going to wander the land until they die, until that generation dies. It was out there for 40 years. Now, did God stop loving them? No. He gave them clothes that never wore out. He did all those kind of things. He fed them, took care of them. They even complained about the food that God provided. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 43 of chapter 1. So I spoke to you, and yet you would not listen. God says, you did not listen, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord and presumptuously went up into the mountain, and the Amorites who dwelt in the mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do and drove you back to Seir, to Hormah. Then you returned and you wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. God says, you're not going into the land. You're not going to the land. There's punishment that's coming down. Then all of a sudden, some people thought, well, we'll just go in and start taking the land again. God says, don't you do it. Don't do it. You see, you need to be obedient in God's timing. You need to be obedient what God called you to do. But not just what God called you to do. You need to be obedient in the timing of it. Because here these people did not do, they knew what it was, but they wouldn't go into the timing because they were so afraid of everything that was on the other side. They heard how God was feeling about it, what God said about it. They, oh my goodness, we're going to go back and do it. Well, they did it and they didn't do very good. They come running back across the line. God says, I'm not with you. This isn't going to work. Because, you know, you think about it and we need to learn it to do things in God's timing. Many times guys will say, I'll pray for this. And there is a time to pray, and then there's a time to do. I know some gentlemen who always said, we've got to pray about it. Well, we prayed about it. This is before we started New Life. And I kept saying, you know, somebody would say, well, we need to do this. He kept saying, we need to pray about it. And never was a man of action, but always just a man of prayer. You can be that part where you just, all you want to do is pray. That's a good thing, is praying, but you've got to put some action to the words, right? Because I'm like this. If you prayed about it, what did the Lord say? He just kept on praying. So he was a guy who wasn't moving. And so he comes down this part. He says, so you remained, verse 46, in Kadesh many days, according to the days that you spent there. Then he comes into chapter 2, and he begins to say this. He says, then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. They just kept going up and down and around and back and forth, going on the same trail, just back and forth. You know, when you're not walking with the Lord right, everything seems to be the same thing. Because when you're walking and doing what God called you to do, you're going to have some mountaintop experiences. You're going to have some valley experiences. You're going to be growing. You're going to be stretched. You're kind of excited about your walk with the Lord. Maybe you have a setback, but you overcome that because you're trusting in the Lord. You're walking in His way. You're being timely with what God's called you to do. And even though you have sad days, you're still serving Him. You're still excited about who He is, and you're going forward. Here, these people were in a time of discipline, back and forth. They had to figure this out. What are we going to do? And they had to have that moment where God just kind of put them on standstill. They chose that they didn't want to listen to what God called them to do. I think there's a lot of Christians today are doing the same thing. Going back and forth, just doing the same thing. Maybe coming to church, maybe doing their thing, but they're just in that same melting pot. They're in that same mold. They're not growing. They're not searching. And yet, self-pity going on. And he says this, so they kept going back as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said this, you have skirted this mountain long enough. You have been up and down. You have been doing this long enough. Turn northward. Northward. You've got to turn northward. New things are now on your horizon. Even though you were under discipline, even though you're under that chastisement, God's still loving him, still taking care of him. And they said, you've been up and down this long enough. Long enough now. You notice when you get under God's discipline, it's not a forgive me, Lord, and I'm done. Okay? Some of these are pretty big things we've done in our life. You look at the book of Jonah. You look at Jonah. God gave him a mission to go to Nineveh, and he ran from the Lord. Didn't take God's timing, did he? But God is a God of mercy, but he didn't get that until he got into that belly of that big fish. There he needed to repent. That's a man who repented. God gave him an opportunity, and he went into Nineveh and did it, and then he had an attitude at the end. And God still had mercy. Because God loves people. God loves people. God loves these people. But the Lord said, you've been around this mountain long enough. Some of us have been in a place long enough. It's time to grow up in our walk with Jesus. It's time to grow up in our Christian walk. It's time to say, you know, what is the next step for me in my growth with God? What is my next step? And it's not always something that is a mountaintop experience. It's not always like, I'm going to seminary, or it's a Bible class, or it's another group. No, you need to talk to the Lord. What is my next step? Sometimes it's stop doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. Sometimes it's do something that you know you're supposed to be doing, but you're not doing it. We need to be faithful to God. We need to be faithful in all things with God. But when we keep skirting that same mountain, we're not getting anything done. And you know what? They missed their biggest opportunity in their life. They missed the biggest opportunity in their life because they chose fear. They chose not to trust in God. Yet these guys saw the miracles that only God can do. Yet they would not listen. They would not take heed to God. So God disciplined them. They kept just doing that same thing. But we can't put our head in the sand. We got to say, you know what? I messed up. I need to repent. The problem is with these people, you don't see repentance. You see it from Moses. You see it from a few people like that. But you don't see a true heart repentance from these people very few times. And we see in the book of Acts that Stephen would call them very stiff-necked people. God would call them stiff-necked people. Moses called them stiff-necked people. Why did they call them stiff-necked people? Because they were people who didn't want to do the right thing. They were focused on their own self. They were focused on what they wanted. They were not focused on what they could see when it was godly things, but they were only focused on what they could see when it was the worldly things. There's giants in the land. We don't have no food. We don't have no water. And we begin to complain, and they never became the people that God called them to be. When we're skirting up the land, it's just not the people that God called us to be. Who has God called you to be? One of the things he begins to tell them is this. You're going to go up into this land, but there's going to be some people up there that you ran into before. And you're going to treat these people right. You're not going to fight them. You're not going to go to battle with them, even though there was a time when you had a skirmish with them. And God was teaching them, now it's time that they need to learn some respect. They need to respect other people. So God puts them in directions of all kinds of people. He says, you're not going to mess with these people because I made a promise to Lot. That's that generational people. You're not going to touch those people. You're going to buy some things off of these people over here, and you're going to respect them. You're going to pay the money that they put the cost on. You're not going to fight them. You're not going to take them over. And God was telling them, you need to learn respect of people. They never respected anyone. They never respected God. They did not respect Moses. They did not respect Aaron or any of the leaders there. They didn't respect anyone. They just always wanted. They were always takers. They were always thinking everything should be given to them. If not, they would try to take it many times by force. He says in verse 9, verse 9, then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as possession, because I have given it to to the descendants of Lot, as a possession. God, I'm going to tell you something. God remembers his promises to Abraham. He remembers his promises to Lot. He remembers his promises all those promises in the past. He remembers them. We don't. They did not. They did not pay attention. And God says, listen, I made promises to them, and you will not do anything to harm them. And so they were also regarded as giants like Anakim and the Moab, called them Ammonim. So we go on and we continue to see so many people that they were not allowed to go and battle with. Verse 15, for indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it was when all the men of the war had finally perished from among the people that the Lord spoke to me, saying, this day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab. So there were times when God would say, you don't battle. There were times God would say, you battle. There were times when God would say, you treat these people right. You know what they had to learn? They had to learn to obey. They struggled obeying. You know, we as Christians today, we struggle obeying the Lord. We do. We struggle in our walk with the Lord. We struggle in obeying Him. Because when we feel like everything is right in our minds, we think everything is all right and we're okay with the Lord. Sometimes we need to do a self-evaluation. Not just a self-evaluation by yourself, but a self-evaluation with God. Okay? Lost people, people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's always a self-evaluation. Some of the most insecure people in the world are non-believers. But unfortunately, some of the most insecure believers are insecure people are believers because they haven't put their full trust into the Lord. And we struggle. We struggle with our walk in the Lord. We struggle. We struggle with obeying the Lord. But I want to tell you, when we don't obey the Lord, there is consequences. When God called, when the Bible says no man comes unto the Father unless he is, and God draws him. No one comes to Christ unless the Father draws them. Okay? The Holy Spirit draws them. You know when a lost person has the opportunity to come to Christ, and they know there's something going on, and they can feel it. They know there's a drawing going on, and they refuse that. You know what the consequences of that is? There's no salvation. There is no salvation for that person. And sometimes God gives them another opportunity, and sometimes God doesn't. You can't go and pick the day you want to get saved. Did you know that? You can't say, today, at 4 o'clock, I'm going to get saved. You know, you don't even know what the next hour holds for you. You can't force God in that whole situation. You can't come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit can pull you. And these people here thought they could do the same thing. I'm going to run back into the land, and we're going to take it. And then what they would have done is they would have done it on their own. We don't do anything on our own. Here's what he says. And we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. Can you imagine what they're thinking about? Man, I wish we would have just went in there. And some are saying, we should have just went back to Egypt. Hopefully, they've been learning some of this. And then the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. You know what that tells me? God was watching them the whole time. God was watching them the whole time. God is watching you on your journey in this world. He's watching you and journey in this world. And sometimes I think God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us saying, you have done this long enough. Your attitude has been bad long enough. Your judgmental ideas against your brothers and sisters have been long enough. Your using has been long enough. Your drinking has been long enough. Your pornography use has been long enough. And then this is what God always says. He always gives us a new direction. He tells them, now, go and turn northward. What he was saying, northward, you turn from it. You got to go away from it. Because now there's new steps that God has for us. New steps that God has for them. Today, it just might be that you need to turn toward your worldly life into the direction of Jesus Christ and the kingdom life, God's world, God's life. It may be that you need to turn away from whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is convicting you about and start turning toward the Lord into a new direction. You can't pick and choose the day you want to change for real change. The real change comes when we're obedient to the Holy Spirit as believers. Amen? How many of you all have been disobedient to God before? I have been disobedient to God before. How many of you all have been disobedient more than a year? I have been disobedient more than a year in my life. How about many of you have had Christ, but you've been disobedient more than 2 years in your life? More than 2 years. How about more than 3 years in a row? I'm more than 3 years in a row. Okay, I'm going to stop at my three right there. Then I had to get off the mountain. God says, it is enough. Literally, I was in bed and I felt something push me out of bed. It was not Carla. It was the Lord pushed me out of the bed and something I was just wrestling with. And I found myself on my knees and God says, it's enough. It's time to get up and take care of business. And you know what? I already knew what it was. I had to get my life back on the direction that God intended it for me instead of doing what I wanted to do. And I just recently pushed two Baptist people that came up to my door. I pushed them away. Can you believe I did that? I actually pushed them away. Not pushed them away, but I pushed them away with words. I said, hey, I'm good to go. I was saved when I was 12. I'm good to go, fellas. You guys have a great day. I pushed them away because I knew I wasn't right. I was still on that mountain skirting around, doing my thing. And then through that, God didn't stop loving me. And then it took his voice. And yeah, the weight of that on me with these guys doing that, did I feel guilty about that later? Of course I did. But it wasn't them who pushed me off of the mountain and into the right direction. It was the Lord. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord. I'm going to ask you a very important question tonight, you that know Jesus Christ. Do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit? Do you know when He is talking to you? It's one of the most difficult questions because many of us feel we know. But do you know when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, do you know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? If you don't, you need to know how that works. You need to know how that works. And I think you probably know more than you think, because God is not muffled. God has a lot to say. But for me, it was time to get off of the mountain and go into a different direction. And I found myself in that church then the next Sunday and cried like a baby at the altar. I don't even know who was there. But God was restoring me. Did He tell me about preaching? No, I wasn't even ready. Did He tell me about going back and doing ministry? No, I wasn't even ready. God will give you what you need at that moment. That can be all overwhelming. First thing I needed to do was get off of the mountain. Get off of the skirting of the mountain and go into an area. Because sometimes those things, they feel safe, but it's not safety. Not true safety. It's just what we do. You know when you're in sin, living in sin, you know what we have a tendency to do? We hide. We try to hide from God. We try to hide from the church. We try to hide from believers. This is what happens. We end up skirting until God says, get off of there. It's long enough. So I don't know what you need to do about stop skirting that mountain. But I do know this. God is always pulling people away from that mountain. He is always saying, stop. It's long enough. It's time to turn northward. It's time to turn into a new direction. For a lost person, that new direction is Jesus Christ. Amen? Lost people are all skirting. But for a lost person to hear the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit says, it's long enough. You know why sometimes I think the Lord says it's long enough? Because He knows when you are going to die. It's long enough. He's trying to save you physically, but more spiritually. But He knows if you don't make this decision, you don't know how much more time that you have. And that's the truth. God knows everything. And He's telling you it's long enough. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need that. But if you are a Christian and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not supposed to be on that mountain skirting for very long. There are times when God will discipline us, but He will call us back in to the ministry, back into whatever He's called us to, and we need to be obedient. We need to, and then these people need to learn how to respect people and love people and work through. And basically, God was just teaching, these people here, you do this. It was all about obedience. As a Christian, we need to be obedient to the Father. And if God is calling you off that mountain skirt and telling you to go into a northward direction, that is toward Him, you need to take heed to that voice. Amen? You need to listen, because it's for your best interest that you get your life right with God. I can't save you. This church can't save you. The neighbors can't save you. It's your best interest. If you're a non-believer, you need to be saved. But if you are a Christian, it's in your best interest to get your life right before God, because we will all give an account before Him about how we lived, about how we did, how we obeyed it all. We'll give an account of our life, and no one else will speak for you except Jesus Christ. Amen? Is that an amen? I'm glad I have the Father as my Lord, and glad I have Jesus as my Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is inside of each one of us as believers, that convicts our hearts into the direction which we need to go. But if you're skirting on that mountain, you need to get off. God's calling you to get off the mountain and go northward. So we're going to go ahead, because I want to do something else here in just a few minutes, but we're going to go ahead right now. We're going to stand. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to you to talk to the Lord about, Lord, are you telling me I need to get off of skirting of the mountain? Are you telling me that I need to go into a new direction? I need to trust someone that I've never trusted before. I need to trust you. I need to be obedient to you. What was one of the things we talked about here just in a few minutes was this. You need to do it in God's timing. And right now, He's given this message through the Holy Spirit for God's timing right now. You need to take it while you have it.